Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
Just because we're in the good old U.S. of A doesn't mean that that concept changes along the way. No, there are sufferings in this present time, but they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. See, our relationship that we have with the Lord, as sons and daughters of God, is one that's going to culminate someday with being with Him face to face. And that really is going to be that's the time that I'm looking forward to.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Coastlands, in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
There are things waiting for us in heaven that we cannot even imagine. There is unspeakable glory and unsurmountable riches reserved for you if you're born again. We often look for satisfaction in the temporal things of this life, but they don't last because we're made for another world. For eternity, for heaven. May that truth have greater place in your life today. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, as we join Pastor Bill.
Anything that is apart from believing in Jesus Christ, and I want to be specific, that Jesus Christ is talked about in the Bible, then it's something else. It's not true. It doesn't make you a child of God. You can say the words if you want. You can believe anything you want, and people are going to believe what they want to believe. That's the privilege they've been given by their Creator, to believe what they want to believe. But He's done the same thing for His creation, just what He did in the garden, right? We have the same choice that they had in the garden. Some of you would say, well, listen, you have the same choice. There was a tree of life in the midst of the garden, right? And there was a tree of death, you could say. Which one are you going to partake of? The tree of life or the tree of death? The tree of life being Jesus, right? He died on the tree. It's the same choice that we have today to exercise if you receive Him, to as many as received Him. So if you've received Jesus into your life, if you've asked Christ to come in and forgive you of your sins, He's washed you with His blood, and you've become born again, the Bible says. Oh yeah, that's a biblical term, born again. Born again, born of the Spirit. See, we are spiritual offspring. We can understand it. God explains it in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus when he comes to the Lord, an older man, religious guy. And Jesus says, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. How must a man, he said, when he is old, enter back in his mother's womb and be born again? No, this is, he says, you're missing it. You must be born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual rebirth. See, the first time you came, you were born of a woman. Right? And by the way, born of a man too, right? That was the problem, by the way. The sin was passed through the seed of the man, and so we're all sinners. We're all born sinners, the Bible says. But now you must be reborn, born again through the Spirit of God, and that's what makes someone a child of God. It's not coming through that birth canal like the first time. It's being born of the Spirit or born of the Word of God. Now, who calls us children of God? This is interesting. The whole Godhead. I'm going to read these to you. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Who calls us children of God? The Father does. And by the way, some of the translations say sons of God, all right? And that would be a proper rendering, but I want to read this to you. The Father says this, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So there you go. He's talking about men and women. And He says, I will be a father to you. Now, maybe some of you don't have a father or didn't have what we call them. There are no Ossiet and Harriet. I don't even know. Does anybody even know who Ossiet and Harriet is? Some of you older people. Or those kinds of fathers. I guess his name was Ossie or whatever. Now we got different Ossies, right? But the point is, yeah, that's probably the extreme right there. But we all have different experiences with our earthly fathers, don't we? But here's what I want to tell you. When you come to Christ, you have another father. And you have a perfect father now. None of us have a perfect earthly father. None of them are perfect. You figure that out? And if you're one, you're not perfect either. But we do have a perfect father. And he is saying, I'm calling you my child. Now I want to see, it also says that the Son, or Jesus, says this. In Hebrews 2:11, so not only does the Father call you children, he is not ashamed, Jesus, to call them brethren. The Son of God calls you brethren. He calls you the Son of God too. And then let's look what the Spirit says in Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, Romans 8:16. Children of God. What a privilege that we have to be the children of God. I mean, being the children of certain people in the world, you have certain privileges, right? I mean, that's just reality. One of the things that I skipped a generation, I mean, in the sense I have grandchildren. Talk to me later about the story, but the point is, when they were here, and they lived in New Jersey for a time, and one of the things that they had to me that other people didn't have, like they had, is access to me. Anytime. Now, they were told not to be rude. They understood what being rude was. But I would be, when you're in ministry, there's a lot of talking to people after the service as a pastor. That's just what I do. That's my time to minister to people. And I don't do it out of, I do it out of love because that's what I just like doing. I like connecting with you. But anyway, when they were here, I'd be up front. It was at that time talking and one would come up and he would stand right there next to me. And I'd see them. They'd just kind of stand there looking up at me. At that time, they were looking up. Now they're looking down at me, some of them. But anyway, it didn't take long before I realized I would stop my conversation very politely and say, what do you need? And acknowledge them. Now I'll do that with other people as well. But the point is, for them, it was different. Nobody else got to go up in my office and get the hard candies out of the jar that I have up there. But they did, and they had an access to my heart and to me that other people just don't have. You understand that concept, right? And that's what we have with God. Children of God have an access to him all the time. It's a privilege that we have. Now, if we don't exercise it, that's not God's fault. It's there for us. And when I say access, I mean access to his love. It's just pouring out. He wants to pour it out on us over and over and over again. And so the Father says that we're sons of God, the Son says that we're sons of God, and daughters of God, and the Spirit says that we're sons of God. Now, as a result of that, we have privileges. Some would say, this car, you have privilege. No, with being a child of God, you are privileged. And we could spend the rest of our time on earth looking at what that all means. And I think we need to do more of that. Instead of just trying to figure out what we can do for God or what we should not be doing right now, those things are important. You might be doing something you shouldn't be doing right now. Here's what I'm telling you. As you understand the love of God, you will stop doing those things. Do you understand that? Love is a powerful motivator. Love is a powerful motivator. So we get the love of God poured out on the children of God. And by the way, because you're a child of God, you have the love of God in you. The world doesn't have that. They don't even know what it is. But you're here to show that, to experience that, and then to give it to others. He puts it in you so that it will go through you. Now, I want you to see what else it says here. As a result of being a child of God, look what it says here. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. See, you're strange if you're a child of God. You're not of this world. You understand? You're born from above. You're a foreigner now to this sinful place that we live. You've been made to be in heaven, to be in the presence of Almighty God. Now, we're still have sinned. There's still sin that goes on here. When we get to be with him, we'll see this in a second. We'll be as he is. But the point is, you ever feel like you're foreign here when you're walking with the Lord? It's because you are. You are foreign. You're not of this world. You're born from above. And this is a problem that we have. We think when we discover, this is what happened to me. I remember when I first got born again, I thought the first thing I'm going to do is go tell my family about this. And I'm sure they're going to embrace this whole thing. They didn't have a clue of what I was even experiencing. And it didn't go over very well either, because I was rocking the boat, upsetting the apple cart. We already had our religion. And this wasn't what it was like. No, I'm talking about something better than religion. I'm talking about the love of God. They didn't understand. We've already talked about, you see the two kinds of people there in the first verse, the children of God and the world. They're diametrically opposed. The world can understand a love, a certain type of love, a take love. Well, there's maybe some giving involved because they realize if they give, they get something back. You see what I mean? That's the motivation. The selfish nature says they realize if I do that, I'm going to get something back. If I keep mama happy, I'll be happy. You ever hear that? That is so unbiblical, that idea of when mama's happy, everybody's happy. That is really unbiblical. Talking about the husband-wife relationship, I'm saying the husband should seek to love the wife, but not to get something back. Not so she won't be upset. Sometimes love will upset the spouse when it's properly. But the point is, the world doesn't understand the love of God. So don't have an expectation that they will. Don't try and convince them. Just get them to have the love of God. So you've been left here so you could lead them in a relationship of how they can receive the love of God into their own lives. Then they will understand. The only way to really understand it is to experience it. And we're going to, as we go through this chapter, not today, but we're going to see that He's left you and me on the earth so that other people can experience it. What do you mean? Well, this kind of love that when somebody sins against you, you don't sin against them. What do? What did God do? You forgive them. What? Yeah. I mean, you know how many people have been moved by the force of love in forgiveness? Because in the world, you do something wrong. And I'm thinking about remember Charles Manson? You can use guys like him as an example of evil, wickedness, the things that he did. Well, the sister of one of the ones that was killed in one of his sprees, in his crime sprees, that was murdered, one of the sisters went into prison. She was a Christian. She went into the prison of this guy, I think his name was Tex Cobb, and she told him that she forgave him for what he did to her sister. Now, he came to Christ, by the way. Died in prison, I think. But the point is, that's unusual. That's not normal. Of course not. That's the love of God being manifested. What a force. He came and he chose to forgive her, didn't hate her. That idea of forgiveness. Not just, I'll forgive you you made right with me. Okay, I'll say, all right, you were nice to me, and so now I forgive you. No, forgiveness is the kind of forgiveness that God has is that even if, you just choose to forgive them, even if they still hate you and have done something. Now, that's supernatural. That's supernatural love. The world doesn't know it. You can't expect them to know it. And stop trying to convince them of how to live a life like a Christian if they're not one. You have to receive the love of God into your life and the transformation begins, right? And it doesn't end there, Christian. It's the love of God and apprehending and walking in it that changes my life. Not just, now I've got the book of rules and regulations and I've come to know them pretty well, so I should be then doing them. No, I know enough to know that it's only by God's grace and his love shown in my heart that he will change me and I'll be different. And that, the love of God is a powerful force. It says regarding the children of God, first that the world doesn't know them because they didn't know him. That's clear enough, right? They didn't know Christ. Oh, they may have knew about Christ. They've heard Jesus, but they didn't really know him like John's saying. He wasn't part of your life. It's, you know, that like the father and the child will know each other, that relationship. And then he says, beloved, verse 2, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. See, being a son or a daughter of God has privileges in this life and in the life to come. Some of it's a mystery of what's going to come, right? But we find out about it in the Word. He says right there, he says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We don't know all that's going to take place in us, but let's see what we do know. But we know, there's some things we do know, that when he is revealed, yeah, Jesus, when he's revealed to the world, when he comes back, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. And I want to say this is a twofold understanding of this verse. When he is revealed to the world, that's what he's talking about. When he comes back, there's going to be a transformation. We are going to be perfected, those that believe in Christ. We aren't perfect. The miracle is that we're carrying around in these vessels the love of God. Some would say cracked vessels, but when he is revealed, there'll be perfection in us then. It's going to be different. Not having the ability to sin then. But I want you to see something else here. This idea of when Christ is revealed, we shall be like him. That happened to each person. When Christ was revealed to you, that's the key. Christ is revealed. He says, you will be like him. This understanding. And think about that in a different way now. This idea of Christ being revealed into a non-believer's life even. When he's revealed, boom. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job. The gospel, it reveals Christ to him. And then boom, they ask him to come in and they will be as he is. Now, so I'm taking a twofold look at that verse. But let's go back to the first way, in the way that I think it was clearly meant to be written in the context of when Christ returns to earth. When Christ is revealed, he says, we shall be like him. And I want to say this to you. This is a mystery. We're not going to be gods, all right, because Christ is God. We're not going to be gods. We're not going to attain godhood. You see, only God can be God because he never had a beginning. You understand? He's always existed. But because we're sons of God, he says, we will be like him. Sinless, one of the reasons we'll be like him, we will be sinless at that time. We will be without sin. We are positionally sinless now because of the blood of Christ on us, but the reality is, in practice, we still sin as Christians. But then it'll be different. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again, he's talking to a future event when Christ returns. But I want to tell you something. We'll go to the same understanding of this verse as we did what we did in the previous portion. When you see Christ for who he is, you shall be like him. The love of Christ. You get the idea? There's a motivator. There's a change that takes place when you see him and his love for who he is. That idea. And so the Christian so many times spends a lot of his time and effort trying to, I don't know, please God instead of just loving God through his son Jesus. And then he says something else about a child of God. And everyone who has this hope in him, he's talking about children of God now, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Talking about the God being pure, and this hope that we have, and the hope that he's talking about is something that is yet future. Now, the hope for the Christian is, though we're not there yet, see, this is what the Bible says about Christians today. It says in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time, of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Some people get tripped up on that. Well, I thought we came to Christ and it was like nirvana, heaven on earth here, isn't it? No. Who told you that? Who you been watching on TV? You got to come back down to earth or come back to the Word of God. There are sufferings that take place for Christians. It's happened since Christ, he suffered, and then all of his followers suffered after him. Just because we're in the good old US of A doesn't mean that that concept changes along the way. No, there are sufferings in this present time, but they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. See, our relationship that we have with the Lord, as sons and daughters of God, is one that's going to culminate someday with being with Him face to face. And that really is going to be that's the time that I'm looking forward to. And I'm getting as much, you know, He's given us all things to enjoy. So I want to enjoy the life event. I want to have joy in this life. But how I have it is because I have a hope for the life that's coming. If this is all there was to Christianity, and we have joys, and there's great things that can happen, but the point is, there's a lot more to come. More to come. We can experience the love of God, but we're going to experience it in a greater way. And worship, like we'll see it in Revelation, they were around the throne of God. They see Him as He is, and the response is that everybody's around the throne. They're just there because it's a response to who He is. They're seeing Him for who He is, and there's the response. There's no more, oh, well, you know, I got to go do this and do that instead. We'll get to God later. That'll all be put by the wayside. We're going to see Him as He is. The most powerful force in the universe is God's love. It's God's love. And He's constantly wanting to shine His love on the world. And He's chosen to do it through you, if you're a Christian, to do it through you. He's demonstrated it on the cross. And He's told you, if you're a Christian here today, that you are a privileged person. Yeah, God loves you. And He died for you, but not just for you, for the world, but because you're a child of God, you've received Him, you now have a place, a position, an inheritance, even the Bible talks about. And He just wants us to know that today. We need to know that because the world is changing, but God isn't. His love's not going to change for us. And believe it or not, when the world's falling apart around everyone, they're going to be looking to something that's stable. The world needs love. I mean, even poets and songwriters, secular songwriters, have written about that idea. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's just what there's too little of. Good observation, but not the kind of love we're talking about is God's love. And so, two things. Are you a child of God? Or have you received the love of God into your life? If you haven't, I'm going to give you a chance to do that as we pray. And if you're already a Christian, He just wants you to experience that. Yeah, it'll motivate you to be the person you're called to be.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This verse from the book of 1 John is a wonderful blessing extended to anyone who is willing to confess. And this is one of many blessings we will discover as Pastor Bill teaches verse by verse through the book of 1 John. You've been listening to Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. If today's teaching has ministered to you and you'd like to tell a friend about this message, or you'd like to listen to it again, it's archived at our website. That address is anchoredintheword.com. Perhaps today's message was exactly what you're looking for in a church. If you don't have a home church and you sense God is calling you to walk in obedience to Him, by being a part of the body of believers, please join us for worship Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. Pastor Bill also shares in-depth Bible studies every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, including driving directions, visit anchoredintheword.com. And then follow the link to the Calvary Chapel Coastlands Church website. We hope to see you soon. Thanks for listening today. Now, please place a marker in your Bibles and make plans to join us again as Pastor Bill will continue teaching through the book of 1 John. It is our heart's desire that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.